Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken...
Okay, Mark, phone lines are open.
Okay, you got me okay?
Yes, I got you.
Okay, all righty.
0960.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is that better for everybody right there? 0960. Good. You're over on here.
Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour. Where am I? Too hot?
Yeah, on your...
On down here?
On your recording.
Okay, on my recording. Okay, all right. I've got some help in here today.
Now you know what I put up with, Mark.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, no kidding. sorry. I said no shoot. If I missed that, I'm sorry. Anyway, last week, as you know, I've got Kurt and I've got Eric from Kurt's Automotive, I-17 and Bell Road. I got Alan, my son, so it's the old guys against the young guys. And I'm just putting you on notice, both of you, that you have that against you.
Yeah.
Are you up to it?
I don't know. You guys are the ones about ready to fall in the grave.
I'm fine. I'm good. No, I'm not worried about it.
Oh, you need to be worried about it because it's going to happen. Anyway, Kurt and I have been in business. Kurt, you've been in business?
33 years.
33 years, and I think we started in 79. Eric, how long have you been working for Kurt?
Over 20 now.
20 years?
Yeah.
Aren't you married to his daughter?
Yeah, I am.
That's a whole different story right there. And Alan, how long have you been working for our family?
Just over 25.
Okay. All right. So what's your job title? Let's make sure that everybody knows.
Whatever they tell me to do.
Okay. That's the politically correct one, but really, fireman,
shop manager,
are you handling personnel problems?
Yeah.
Are you doing hiring, firing?
I have committee into that, yeah.
Oh, okay, so basically, your square's a lot bigger than what you just represented.
Yeah.
I'm scared to ask you, Alan.
What?
What's your job?
Well, that just depends on who you ask. I have business cards that say Shop B. And if you ask anybody else, I'm Andy's B, so it's just kind of a...
It's true. Somebody made him business card, B-I-T-C-H. That's what it says on it. His job title is Shop B. And everybody thinks that's the funniest thing in the world. I don't know who did that, but if I found him why they're spending my money buying stupid business cards like that, I'd probably be upset. And obviously... Kurt, these guys are our right hand.
They are the ones we're leaning on to carry on, yes.
And to take us into the second portion of our life, where we travel in our own jets, and we take the women to Europe and all
if
that kind of stuff.
If we're going to do that, they can't work on the jets, Mark.
Yeah, well, I know, but they have to make the money so we can buy the jets.
I just don't trust them to adjust things.
What do you think, Eric? You going to be able to pull this off?
Well, we'll find out, because... takes a lot of what he puts in,
yeah,
to make everything work.
Oh, so he's part of the complete circle of the business operation,
yeah,
from morning till night.
Yep.
Alan, he's got that bad look on his face.
It don't look good for you, Mark.
For us, it's the further you stay away, the better off we are.
I knew that was coming.
Oh, boy.
we're fine. We love it. No. I mean, in all seriousness, we enjoy it. Andy and I, we enjoy what we do. We enjoy spending our days together and working together.
I'm holding my breath. I'm holding my breath.
Why?
I don't know. So to explain to everybody else, he obviously runs the operation to some extent.
Yeah,
Eric?
The shop area, yes.
Okay. And so who handles the books and the money?
I handle the books and the money, and my younger daughter, Anna, runs the front counter and all of that.
Okay.
So it's similar to how you got it set up.
Yeah, yeah. Alan handles all the bays, both businesses, the Salem Boys mechanical repair, and then then we have a performance division. So he handles all that. He handles all personnel. Any problems there? It's better for him to handle them than Andy, my daughter.
Really?
Yeah. Andy has a little less patience than he does. And when he walks up and puts his arm around you and says, we need to go talk, 6'4", they usually just say, okay, fine, let's go. So, and Andy's in charge of the money, which is a good thing for Alan.
That'll never change.
Yeah, in my family, that was the most important thing. He's like my dad.
Oh.
I mean, he acts like my dad.
Oh.
And so, my dad was a good-hearted guy, except he never saw a dollar he didn't like to spend. And Andy's more of a miser.
Yeah.
So Andy handles the front counter. She handles the money, the books, that kind of stuff. So she's like CFO, and he's like COO operations. So the two of them do it.
Yeah.
But they're right. Mom and I have very little, if anything, related to the business anymore. I mean, they both got 20 years or 25 years experience. So I'm assuming that they can pull it off.
They'll do it.
They've had a couple of things happen just recently that was kind of like, I told you so. And how did you handle this? And, you know, stuff like that with whether an employee or whether it was with vendors. They can't hear you. Shake your head.
No. Yeah, employees, vendors, customers.
Yeah.
Complaints, stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, and so it's not that they're learning. It's just that as they get those, it's kind of like, they'll call Renee first, and then Renee will give them an opinion. Then they'll call me to see which one they like better. And Renee is a hugger and a smoozer. And
you're more off with the head.
I'm the hatchet guy.
Yeah, I don't know. That is sort of flip flopped over the last couple of years. Mom comes in sometimes and just, what happened to you?
Talking to you or Andy?
Both of us.
Okay.
What happened to you? Like, what, you know, she'll come in and, who's that guy out there collecting the waste tires? Mom, calm down. We know who it is. He's not back there stealing them. Relax. Okay, well, I just yelled at him. For what? He didn't do anything.
I've seen that smile come on your face, Mark. You're proud of Ray. Yeah.
I am. I'm very proud of him.
Wow.
For that reason. Well, in our family, I'm telling you right now, we have Snow White and Jack the Ripper, and I will explain the difference, okay? Snow White hugs and gives the kids and then dresses their owies, okay? And Snow White knows how to say yes. Jack the Ripper is the no. And Jack the Ripper is the one who spanks him, not Snow White. Jack the Ripper is the one that says, so when you go to Alan,
not anymore. You don't spank us anymore. That stopped 2 years ago.
Something about him being 6 inches taller than you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No question about that. We're talking.
I'm just kidding. I know what you're talking about.
So it's kind of like if you need a hug, you go to her. If you're going to get your butt chewed, you're coming to me. And that's the way it's been. Yeah. And to some extent, that has extended to him and his sister, Andy. To some extent. Which one is Snow White? Which one's Jack? Or are you both Jack the Ripper?
No. It depends. I'm the most extreme of both.
Okay.
I'm the nicest. Put your arm around you. Give you a hug. You know, joke. Okay. Have fun. But I'm also the very, very, very top too.
So she fills the middle.
Yeah, she's that middle. You know, 60%. I'm the bottom 20 and the top 20. If a customer needs to be thrown out, then I'm the one who does that.
Okay, so you're taking the extremes, the extreme good and the extreme bad, she kind of fills the middle.
Yeah.
She had a customer with a complaint the other day, and he kept calling and he kept saying, I want to talk to that young lady that I dealt with at the front counter.
The cute young lady.
And then he started saying all kinds of inappropriate stuff about taking her to lunch in Scottsdale and see what happens and all this kind of stuff. He doesn't understand she's running the company.
Yeah.
He thinks
the girl he met at the cute girl that he met at the front counter is also, you know, running the company.
Yeah.
The one he's talking to right now. He doesn't get that.
He keeps talking and he just keeps digging this hole deeper and deeper and deeper. And now we have a Better Business Bureau complaint that involves him. But he still doesn't understand that she is the decision maker. So when it comes up that he may deny that he said some of this really stupid stuff. But the fact of the matter is who the person is that he sent it to.
The fact of the matter is it's in writing.
Yeah. Oh, and most of it is in writing.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, it's
that's
in
what
writing.
Andy said. He had a lot of emails and in writing and stuff like that. So, and here's the key. He's been in twice. Okay? Get this. There's 930 days between his first visit and his second visit.
Yeah, that's like over 3 years almost.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and this has, it's a 36-year-old car that had never run before we got it.
It's an 84 Monte Carlo.
Yeah. It's we did a lot of work and we did a lot of good work, but he's got all these new things that the rearview mirror fell off the windshield. That's our fault. And so there's lots of other things as the car gets on the road. Obviously, yeah, there's other things that are going to happen. But anyway, we'll deal with it. We, just like you guys,
yeah,
when you get a complaint, you,
yeah,
just deal with it.
Yeah.
Okay, we have Kurt and Mark, and between the two of us, we have, would you say, 60 to 80 years?
Yes.
Okay, and then we got the two whippersnappers.
Yeah, they only got 50-some between them.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay, so here's how we're going to do it. Kurt and I are going to just sit back, and you two guys handle everything.
Hey, we'll do it.
Okay, all right. So I'm just going to...
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Oh, you know, when he went to jail, he got a lot of this stuff from jail. You,
yeah, they pick up bad habits there.
All righty, 602-508-0960. I didn't give the number on purpose until now because I just thought we'd give him lots of fodder to call in for. But so Kurt from Kurt's Auto, I-17 and Bell. My story about Kurt's has been the same since day one. I knew of you, and the lady had called me. She had been told by two or three shops that she needed a motor.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talked to her, I said, any motor clatter, any noise, all you got is this red light on, blah, blah, blah. So I said, I don't know that you need a motor, and I don't know what the red light was, but it's not clattering, it's not squeaking, it's starting and running.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you need to go talk to Kurt. So she takes it to your shop, and you guys do an oil pressure switch on it, fixes the light, and the truck's been running ever since. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that repair bill was. Can you throw it off the top of your head? Oil pressure test and R&R?
I would think around $200 or
okay,
something.
Okay, and I was going to say, yeah, $150 to $200. Yeah. So you guys fixed her car. Well, ever since then, she's been a good customer of yours, but, I mean, her and I have developed, you know, a friendship like a brother and, yeah, sister, because you guys made her happy. And I was honored because you fixed the car and you didn't put a motor in it. But how many times has that a year? How many times do you get somebody with a really big estimate that actually... Now, I'm not suggesting that it's 100% of the time.
No.
No,
I'm
no.
just saying, how many times a year does that happen, Alan? Eric?
I don't know, half a dozen or something.
Alan?
Yeah, I'd say maybe once a month. Okay. Where you get something like that?
Where somebody says something, and then they are getting a second opinion, and then it's a little easier for us to pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least we have the symptoms, we have the other estimate, and then we can form our own opinion. So, okay, 602-508-0960. I'm going to hit my mark this time. Watch this.
Yeah.
602-508-0960. Kurt and Eric from Kurt's Automotive. Alan and Mark from the shop in Mesa, and we'll be right back.
Hugh Hewitt sees a vaccine.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're talking about cars. Kurt from Kurt's Automotive. Eric. Eric is Kurt's right-hand man. Mark Salem and my son, Alan. So we have the two young, what do they call that in that? Hold on. That was that.
Studs. Young no. studs, that's yeah. what you can call it.
No, it was the guy that
I thought Thug was better.
The Karate Kid.
Yeah.
What's that
Sensei
one?
And
Grasshopper.
Grasshopper, yeah.
The two Grasshoppers. That's what we got right here. Okay, we're going to take a call because we got Martin. Martin, thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Hey, this comment is for Alan. I just wanted to call and personally thank him again for helping me with the repair from hell that I had in his shop for the last month. So, totally satisfied and totally appreciate how much he worked with me and helped me out fixing my piece of crap truck.
Hey, I know exactly who this is. Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you for working with me. I mean, it took a little longer than we thought it was going to be, and we ran into some issues, but I appreciate you working with me, and I'm glad to help you.
Give me the umbrella.
This is the one we had the cab off of in the back there, that 450.
I know, but tell our audience it had
a bad oil cooler, and so what was happening is as it heated up, it would slow the oil would overheat, and it would throw it into limp mode.
Okay.
And so we got that taken care of, and then that was the one that we had to have that stud extracted that we worked for three
yes.
days to get that stud extracted. Finally got that out, got that all put back together. And
what kind of vehicle was it?
Ford. F-450.
F-450. Okay.
They said cab off.
They said
cab
off.
Ford.
It's a Ford.
Yeah. Anytime, Martin. Thank you for everything. I appreciate it.
Okay. And then.
Yeah. No, I will definitely recommend you guys to anyone I know. So I really appreciate it.
No problem, buddy. Anytime.
That's very kind.
All right. But,
when we're talking about studs, we pulled the exhaust manifold off of it.
Yeah, it had an exhaust manifold leak, so it was squealing real loud.
Okay, so then the bolts are galled to where they live, and so they're broken. So now we have to drill them and easy out. Somehow we got to get the old studs out and put new studs.
Yeah.
So we found this new. What is it?
Well, there was a leak and it had broken the stud off. We couldn't get the stud out, so we ended up having to try to extract it.
Okay, well, we did.
Yeah, well, we ended up getting it after breaking two taps and three drill bits and 14, you know, everything.
How many bad words?
$1,000 in tools and lots of bad words.
Lots of bad words.
Lots of bad words.
Okay, but you told me that you found something that you used that was new technology. Yeah.
Well, it's not new. It's a jig. So you put it up there and then it keeps the extractor and the drill bit straight.
How did you get the broken tap out?
We used the same extractor and went in with a burr bit and basically just ground it away.
Okay.
The extractor away grounded it away. And then once we got that done, then we were able to drill. Yeah, it was just a mess.
And on a side note, you guys, Kurt and Eric, Tom Blackwell has this machine that we have called him and asked him to come here. And he has this machine that's a magic machine where he puts this thing in there, pulls the trigger, and everything is gone, right? Something similar?
Yeah, and that's what we had him scheduled. And the problem with that is it's very uncontrolled. And he told me, he goes, I've done two of these. He says, one ruined the head and the other one worked great.
Oh,
and
boy.
Went, yeah.
50-50.
Yeah,
right.
50-50. So luckily we were able to get it extracted prior to him having to do that. But, he's done it a couple times for us.
The F-450, we put in a twin post hoist just for the forge where you got to pull the cab off. Mm-hmm. All right. So, folks, you got to take the cab off. You lift the cab off the chassis. So the chassis, the tires, wheels, the engine, the transmission, gas tanks are all there. What we didn't know is you have to mark the tires.
Yes.
So when you roll it out to work on it and you roll it back, you can set the body back down where it did came from. But we know that now.
Yeah.
We learned that now.
We just don't move them now.
Yeah. We lift the cab off.
Well, I'm glad I could help you guys learn something.
Thank you, Mark. As Alan's dad, that you've made my whole day. I appreciate that. Now, that's not opening the door for all the people that he's made mad.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times people don't call in when they had a good experience, you know. So I own my own business, so I know how that goes. So
thank you.
I appreciate, you know.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Martin. You need to put a star in his file.
Yeah, he's a great customer.
So Kurt, you have those.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I got another caller I got to take real quick. Paul, how can I help you?
Hello.
Hello.
I have a 2001 Chevy Venture, and I've been trying to figure out how to stop the gas tank from leaking. It's a plastic or vinyl, whatever.
Okay.
Gas tank, and it's leaking, been leaking around, just seeping out just a little bit at a time around where the filler is.
And hold on. This is where the filler neck enters the fuel tank.
Yes.
Okay. I need to get that, you know, for all of our visions, but go ahead.
So is there some kind of sealant that I can put on that?
No.
It's an old vehicle, and I have not been able to find a used gas tank.
Okay, we're gonna do a consensus now. Everybody's got their idea in their head, right? So on three, you're gonna say you're gonna say yes or no. Okay. So on three, one, two, three.
No.
The answer to your question is none of us know anything that will work short.
No.
Go ahead.
They don't have anything for the EPDM plastics that will seal against the fuel.
Silicone's not going to work.
Silicone
JB Weld's not going
to
work.
Even your gas tank sealer that they'll sell doesn't work because it's made to adhere to roughened steel, not plastic.
Okay. So what's plan B?
We've been actually having to plastic weld them.
Oh, okay. Well, that's but you got to take it out.
You got to take it out.
And you got to find somebody who knows how to do that.
Yes.
So who do you use for that?
Me.
Oh, well, give me your cell phone.
No, we've actually had to start doing it because a lot of these tanks aren't available anymore. So we've actually been doing it.
Yeah. But the tank's got to come out.
Yeah, the tank's got to come
out. Okay, hey, Paul, are you capable of pulling the tank?
Yeah, probably.
2 minutes.
Well, here's your choice. You either have them pull it, fix it, and put it back in, which I think is the best deal because that way you can line everything up.
Yeah.
Or you take the tank out and bring it to them. It's one way or the other. Now, I'm not going to hold you to this price, but I want you to give me a range. I want to hear this. No less than and no more than.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, if he brings me that.
I'm let's just do an R&R.
R&R and everything. I think that's a few hours. I'm going to think low end, 500, upper end, 800. I don't remember. I don't know how much is in the way to pull that tank out.
And if the emptier it is, the better we like it.
Yes.
Because we don't have to pump it out into three or four, and I'm making fun of this, 55-gallon drums.
Right.
So
do you have to drain the tank to plastic weld?
If it's on the bottom, because it's on the fill side of it.
Oh, yeah,
leaking,
yeah.
So.
But, I mean, if not flammable?
It's plastic. No, it's using heat and other plastic material. So you're not using flame.
1 minute.
You can't do flame.
Okay.
And that's, I think it's really a heat thing. It's a gun that heats.
Yes.
And you're heating up the plastic and the rod, which is plastic, and it's kind of welding with plastic.
Yes.
Okay.
Does it work?
Yeah, I've done it a bunch.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Okay, I-17 in Bell Road, and you're going to talk to Eric, and I have a coupon for $25 off.
Did he say 800 on the high end? He meant 2,000.
Okay.
Anyway, Paul, that's the best I can offer you. These guys, I told them not to start drinking before we started this show, and it's not been worked out very well. But Kurtz Automotive, I-17 in Bell, northeast corner, and you talk to Eric, okay?
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
You betcha. Larry Harker's Auto is a great place. He's up on 38th Avenue in Indian School. He's been around a long time. And Bob and Ellen run it. And I'm telling you, they're a good shop, and they are great diagnosticians. They do oil changes all the way up to the big dog stuff. So if you're looking for a shop, 38th Avenue in Indian School, Larry Harker's Auto. Okay, everybody, 34 minutes after the hour. And, Gil, I'd like you to fire up your mic.
I'm here.
Okay. First of all, we don't have any callers, and it's all your fault. So 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Second of all, you said that you covered up the bad word I used. And my wife called Alan and said you didn't. So
she said I heard it. Now, whether that means she heard the dump or she heard the word, I don't know. But that's what she told me.
Anyway, I still want you to point to me. So if anybody says anything down at the station, you just say you got to talk to Big Mouth Salem, and he'll take the beating for me. Okay?
Oh, it's
you got it.
Yeah. Okay, all right. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. What's really good about this show is just what we went through. We have a problem that Alan and I have never heard before on a fix, although we've done everything you've done, trying JB Weld and silicone and all that stuff. So now we also talk about that there's Jeeps out there with the vent, a nipple on the top of a plastic tank that breaks off that necessitate the replace of the tank, but you fixed those.
Well, I haven't had to actually do any of them that actually break the nipple. Those are the ones you have to find a tank, and then later if something should happen, you'd have to go back and fix it. But anytime they actually break the nipples, it's about unheard of. They do have things that I might try, like, you know, you can get the repair kits for the nipples on radiators and stuff like that.
Yeah, we have those, yes.
So you would be something maybe you could try, and then maybe, you know, adhere the plastic to them, that piece.
Well, not only that is we could take the sending unit out, which means we can get our hands inside the tank.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to have some kind of a sandwich thing, that makes it easier for us to do that, yes?
Yeah. So you don't think you could do a nipple if it
broke? Well, if you could get a rod that was the inside bore, so you could keep it aligned and keep it straight, so you could seal it together.
Sure.
That may work.
That may work, okay.
How often are you running across that nipple?
We've done... 3, 4, 5 of them.
Okay.
Something like that.
And he has a big clientele of Jeepsters and gray-haired guys and all that other kind of stuff that bring in their stuff. So anyway, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, now's the time to call. And who might that be?
That would be Dave.
Dave, good morning. How can we help you?
Morning, sir. Hey, I've got a PT Cruiser aluminum oil pan stripped out for the drain plug. What in the world do I do?
Alan, let's go with you first.
There's a number of things you could do. I mean, you could go with an oversized drain plug, or you could do you could try a helicoil. I mean, they make, this is obviously a common issue. We just bought a kit from Matco that had, I think, redrill and put an oversized drain plug in it. I don't know if it's something I would attempt myself. I think I'd probably take it to a shop if it were me in your position, but, getting it there might be tricky, but, to us in the industry, this is easy.
Yeah, I would say that what we have a tendency to do is, you know, we give the customer two choices. Say we can try the oversized. We use the oversized that screws in, and then it's got a shut valve on it, so we're not pulling that thread in and out no more.
Good idea. Great idea.
We do that. That's cool. Yep. And then, but if they prefer, we can also just change the pan because that guarantees longevity. But to try not to keep stripping more threads, we put the oversized that has the shade-off valve inside of it so we don't have to pull that plug no more.
Okay, yeah. Well, what about the big nipples we used to use, the little rubber nipples?
Yeah, they used to have them little on the little tool.
Yes.
And then when you put the tool in and do it, everything dumps on your arm all at once. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's pretty cool.
No, that was fun.
Yeah.
But the issue is this had like a hypodermic thumb thing on it, okay?
Yeah.
And so it didn't matter what the hole looked like. It could be stripped. So you'd stick this in, and it would extend this nipple long, and you'd put it in, and then you'd pull the tool out, and the end of it would flare out, and it worked great.
The only problem with that, I had one in one of my cars. Mm-hmm. My wife hit a board in the road. Mm-hmm. It ripped the whole thing out driving down the road, and she dumped all the oil. We didn't lose the engine because she stopped.
Well, that's her fault. She should have seen the wood before she ran over it.
You know, I tried that excuse. It didn't work, Mark. You might want to change.
No. I was just floating a trial balloon right there. Yeah. You know, that.
Hey.
But anyway.
Hey, where do you get that one with the spigot on it?
1 minute.
Any part store?
Buy that?
The variety of parts store. I mean, it's, sometimes you have to do a little searching because some people don't know exactly, but they're out there.
What would he say to the parts store?
You're going
to
look for a drain plug with a removable,
like a
drain.
Ball valve.
Yeah. Well, some of them got ball valve style, and some of them actually got an internal. It's a double.
Oh, a double bolt. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a double bolt. So some of them have got.
So is the self tapper pretty successful? Not that I've ever done one.
If you can do it, if you can get a lot of room where you can get it very straight, and you got to make sure it's, you know, holds good.
Here's the problem. If you get it crooked, you're in big trouble, and there's hardly any way to recover from that. If you don't get all that metal out of inside the pan, then most of it will be stopped by the screen on the oil pump, but it'll also restrict the so there's some real, this is one of those things where the risk is huge. And the reward isn't.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're going to make a whole lot of money if we hit it successful, but if we hit three foul balls or we get three strikes, then we're in big trouble.
It also depends on what the labor time is to do the oil pan. I mean, if you got to pull the engine, it's a 14-hour oil pan, then I'd get that thing to a shop and make sure you get it. Right. Because that's the last thing you want to
do. I just did a $2,000 re-gasket at Traverse, so I hear what you're saying.
You know what I mean? So
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, it's cool.
We're not talking in hours. Just let's do it this way, okay? 14 hours at even $100 an hour. Yeah. Everybody knows that's stupid. It's $1,400.
Right.
Okay? So on the low side, it's $1,400 versus the options that we talked about.
Yeah.
And that's just a guess. I'm saying it could be 30 minutes. I'm just saying, you know, but that would certainly persuade my decision.
Yeah,
I mean, how hard this whole thing is.
$1,400 car.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we work on a lot of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, they gotta keep them running.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't. Yeah, it's kind of like my wife. Same thing. She drives a Ford. You got to keep it running. God bless her heart.
All over the Ford. Yeah, I hear you, man. All right.
Thanks for
your time.
Thank you, Dave. All right. Lines are wide open. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. You got one in five chance of getting on, and we're here to help you. Kurt and Eric from Kurt's Automotive and Alan and Mark from Salem Boys Auto, and we'll be right back. Okay, we're rocking and rolling. We got a full bank of boards, and we're going straight to the callers. So, Bob, you're up first. How can I help you today?
Morning, guys. Do you guys ever see any advantage to installing an external transmission filter. Like, I think there's one brand called Magnifine, or some people put even like a spin on, almost like an oil filter.
Okay,
like plumb it in line.
Let me change your question. Have any of us installed something like that on our cars?
No.
Okay. Have any of us installed that on behalf of a customer?
An additional tranny filter?
Yeah.
Yes.
No. I mean, most cars now have two of them.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say most. Some of them have two, you know, spin on and internal. So yeah. I don't know what you would.
I think that there's bigger risk than reward there. First of all, let me change the question again. How many times have we seen a transmission come in that was plugged with metal and didn't, you know, for whatever reason?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
No.
So there's no real need for an additional filter because we're not seeing the need for an additional filter.
And then you
filter.
Add additional connections, lines, all kinds of things that can leak and.
Yeah.
I don't see anything.
Yeah, I don't see a benefit to it. But if you're hauling a trailer and you're overheating it, putting a cooler on would be different.
Yeah.
But the fact is...
What kind of problem are you trying to fix?
Just trying to extend longevity, like on a GMC pickup. I mean, I've just seen it written up on message boards where guys install up. I mean, most transmissions, except the GMC, they have, like, that spin-on filter, right?
Yeah, that Allison.
Yeah.
And they technically say that the Allison, you change the spin-on every 30, but the internal is a quote-unquote lifetime.
Yeah, that's true.
They tell you not even to change it, which we do, but...
Okay, you know, we don't see a need for it, and you know, the idea, it's just another one of those things that you'll hear on the message boards, because somebody says, that fixed my transmission problem. We all know it didn't. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things. But anyway, Bob, that's a question we've never had. Thank you very much for that. Al, you're up next.
Yes, sir. I love to show you guys.
Thank you.
I got a 2006 Chevy C4500 Kodiak.
Okay.
I use it just to pull my RV with my fifth wheel. The water pump, I'm changing the water pump on it. The seals go on them. They're gear driven. And it drops water down into the oil, which I have right now. Have you guys, any of you guys experienced taking that water pump off?
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you. Are we talking, just for everybody else, diesel or gas?
Duramax.
This is the
Duramax, yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Alan.
Oh yeah, it's a big job. It's not a fun job. Make sure there's a bypass pipe that runs from the back to the front. Make sure you pull that out and do the O-rings on both ends, because the only way those O-rings are serviced is with the water pump out. So make sure you do that. And then just to get the coolant out of the oil, just change the oil after you're done. Shouldn't hurt anything.
Is there anything an additive that I could add to the new oil that would alleviate any rust or anything on a cylinder walls or anything like that, or would there not be any? I use the best, a good oil. I use that, the triple, triple T full synthetic.
Okay. I'm the oil expert, so I'm going to take that one. Anything you add to your oil throws it out of specifications. Okay? We hate that. I represent Chevron, and I'm trained by them. We hate that idea.
Okay.
The rust on your cylinder walls, have we ever, the four of us, with 100 plus years of experience, have we ever done a repair related to the rust on cylinder walls?
No.
In any way, shape, or form?
No.
So there's a lot of the salesmanship on stuff like that, but in reality, in practical experience, I don't care if you haul two three-axle RVs behind that Duramax. You're not going to suffer from rust on the cylinder wall. So that would be something that we'd pass on. But thank you, Al. We haven't heard that in a long time. And God bless your Duramax, because they're really good. And I'm not making fun of that. We all know that 6.6 Duramax is a good motor. Doug, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hi, I have a 2004 F-150. I've had truck. I've had it for a while. It sits in the backyard. I don't ever, it's just kind of handy for yard jobs every month or less. And it's an automatic, of course, and it has that button on the gear shifter on the very end. I guess that's an overdrive. Right now, if I don't push that button in, as you probably know what I'm going to say, it'll go into the three gears just fine. And then when it hits the fourth gear, I guess that's overdrive in this truck. To me, it's just fourth gear, but it slips out and winds up. So I've got to press the button in order for it not to go into that overdrive. What would you think Is that a big deal in the tranny, or is that just like a relay switch or a
Eric, go.
It's a the wires break in the shifter column because of all the movement, and it hits that switch intermittently because those wires will touch. Because all that switch is just a contact switch.
Okay.
So basically, you put a new shifter and wire kit in it.
Okay, so is this electronic shifter in the
yeah.
column? It's not mechanical.
No.
Okay, so we got a sensor in the steering column that's going to tell it to shift.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, and so the wires between the steering wheel and down to the feet?
No, no, at the top where the shifter moves, okay. the wires run up the street because the button's at the end of the shifter.
Right.
Where it goes on the pivot, those wires will break right there.
How many are there?
Just two.
Two, just on and off.
Yeah, on
okay.
and off. Yeah.
All right, so the answer is that harness is available.
Yeah.
And it probably comes with the whole stock?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's going to be all the shifter stock, and it has to be installed, and we're going to plug in the new one.
Yep.
Okay, how much? Get ballpark. No less than, no more than.
I think you're $250 on the low end, $400 on the high end. I don't remember the exact cost of the
Okay, we're just guessing, but yeah. You'll notice I'm asking them for low and high because we're just guessing. So, like he said, on the low side. Do you have a shop that you already use?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm out in East Mesa, almost the AJ, but but I'm East Mesa, yeah.
All right. Well, if this is now on a 1 to 10 scale, Eric, what is this on a one? Not for a senior master tech like we all are, but on a 1 to 10 scale for the guy that changes his own oil and does a little bit of work and has some mechanical ability.
If he's not afraid to pull a few screws and is careful, he could probably do it himself in 45 minutes or something.
Okay, but he has to be careful of the airbag. We have to disable the airbag
system.
Actually,
you just pull the shrouds around the column,
okay.
and there's a pin that holds the shifter in. So it's just making sure you're not ripping up plastic.
So we're not taking the steering wheel off the shaft.
Right.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, there you go. Mark was wrong about the airbag explosion.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you. All righty. And Dick, you're up next.
Hello, Mark.
Yes, sir.
This is some information for you. I don't have a problem.
Okay.
I'm a winter visitor, and last year you had a caller come in and said that his TPMS light was coming on.
Yes.
And he later on, a second time he described it, he said it was flashing. Well, I had that happen in my Dodge truck several times. It's a system failure. It's not a tire going flat.
Okay.
All yeah, right. The blinking is usually a
system. And it just goes away after a while.
Yeah. Yeah, the especially on the Dodge trucks, those are really, really bad on them. The receivers go bad. Not the TPMS, but yeah, if the TPMS light is on, it's a low tire or a bad sensor, but if it's blinking, then there's a system issue, yes.
All right, let me clarify this for the people. Because remember, we're not on TV, so they can't see our hands. We have a transmitter and a receiver. The receiver is the dog underneath the dash for all intents and purposes, and it talks in each one of the sensors in four tires talks to the receiver. Yep. So we have a transmitter, which is in the car, in the tire, and we have a receiver.
Yep.
So when it's blinking, what I hear you saying is we got something wrong with the receiver. The receiver's not hearing or seeing the four tires.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Receiver or something. But it's not a. That's usually not a sensor issue.
Okay. So what's the anybody done one of these receivers or anybody worked on the other end of the ABS spectrum?
No, it's not. Well, it's usually not tied into the ABS. It's usually into the same frequency that the door locks. Like
okay.
But anyway, no, not really. Okay. You don't see that often. Like
right,
my
tire
light's
you,
been
Eric?
On for 8 years, and I've never checked mine. But it blinks. And
so your TPMS isn't working when it's blinking.
No. Okay. It hasn't worked since, like, day one.
Okay.
And,
you know, we do tires. We've actually, about when they get about 8 to 10 years old, the transmitters, the batteries go dead.
Right.
Because they're not plugged in. I've actually never seen a receiver problem.
Okay.
So usually the transmitters, if it's blinking, usually it's the transmitters. I'm not going to say it's always because there probably is other reasons, but.
Well, I think if we lose the signal, and of course, Ford and Chevy and Dodge and Toyota and Honda can
all
be different.
Same, yeah.
Well, I mean, but they can all have different paths.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you have to look for that because some of them, like you said, I was under the impression that even blinking says we've got a problem, but. According to what Doug's saying,
That's what
no,
he was saying, too.
It's a Dick. It's a Dick. We're talking to Dick. What Dick was saying, that it's his understanding that the blinking means that the whole system is down and it's not a transmitter.
Yeah, right.
So, but we've seen them both ways.
And like, for example, my truck, it's got a receiver at each tire.
Yeah.
So there's four receivers where most cars have it, a centralized receiver to take all four of them, where, like, my truck has one at each corner.
Okay.
So
go ahead.
This goes into the technical side, but the ones that have got individual receivers, you never have to program if you rotate tires.
Okay.
If they have a single receiver, you have to program the vehicle to know you move tires.
To tell it where it is.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to you talk real quick about that. It's silly. I know that this isn't the right way. But what you do is you push a button, you turn the radio on, then you flip the wipers twice, and then you honk the horn once, and that tells you which tire is the right rear. And there's a procedure out there that you have to do these gyrations in order to tell the computer where the heck each tire is at, especially after you rotate them.
Yeah.
But now we have these handheld devices that we can go talk to the receiver inside the tire that costs $4 jillion. And so we charge a little bit extra money to do that because the equipment is so expensive.
Yeah.
Fair enough?
Yep.
Okay. Dick, thank you for bringing that up. And I could have been wrong. And if that's the case, it's the first time in like 400 years I've been wrong. Barry, you're up next. How are you?
Actually, Barry dropped. Let's go to Richard.
Richard, hi. How are you?
Hi, Mark. I've talked to you before. You helped me with my Toyota Camry.
Okay.
So we have another problem. We have a Chevy Cobalt four-cylinder. When we go to start it, it whines, but won't start.
Okay, so it's not really turning the motor over. You just kind of hear a whine to it?
Yeah, you know, it's like it's trying to start, but it doesn't start.
So it sounds like crank no fire.
Is it a crank no fire, crank no start? So the motor's going rrr, 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 rrr.
Yeah, it goes rrr, 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 but it doesn't start.
Okay, spark or fuel.
Yeah.
It's going to be
it
one of those.
Sounds like it's trying to start.
Okay, but I know, but it's spark or fuel. That's a classic example. It cranks but doesn't catch. It cranks
right.
But the engine doesn't start. You're missing spark
right.
or fuel. That's just,
okay.
Now, if you want it, do you work on it yourself?
No.
Okay.
Well, no, not me.
All right. If this was my mother-in-law, I would say to her, take the air cleaner assembly off, go get that can of carb spray I gave you, spray it down the throat of the air intake for about 5 seconds, put the lid back on it. That's an important part, because if there's a backfire, there's a fire. Put the lid back on it, hit the key, and if it starts, runs, and dies, what does that mean?
He's lost fuel.
Huh?
He's lost fuel.
Yeah. You've lost the fuel system. So we usually put a pressure gauge on the fuel system to see if when you turn the key on, if we're pumping up to 35, 45, 55 pounds. So, but if you got fuel pressure, then it has to be a crankshaft sensor. It has to be a camshaft sensor. It has to be an ignition module. It has to be something that's not given a spark. So
right.
There's all those possibilities. On the diagnostic part, I'm going to say 100 to 200. I'm going to go 75 to 200.
Yeah.
75 to 200 for diagnosis, and more than likely that won't translate to the repair.
That's right.
It's a separate system. So anyway, Richard, good luck to you. It's a crank but no start. That's
yeah.
the technical word for it. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. You're welcome to call in. We got another hour. We're going to take a break here in about a minute, I think, and it's about a minute. Maybe it's not a minute. Maybe it's 15 seconds.
1 minute.
Anyway. And Gil's yelling at me. 1 minute, you idiot. 1 minute. Crank, no start. I got to write this down. So I'm killing time. What?
You want one of those?
Oh, one of these? Action Auto. He's up there next to you.
Yep. Yeah.
Do you know Tom?
Yes.
He's a good guy. Yep. He's a good guy. Action Auto's at I-17 in Deer Valley, about a mile or two north of Kurtz at I-17 in Bell. Tom owns a full-service, family-owned auto repair shop that served Deer Valley and North Phoenix since 1983, and I knew Tom in 1983 because he was selling those big-box scopes. And he was selling the Allen, and I bought the Bear, and he's been mad at me ever since. But those scopes back then cost more than my first house did. My first house was 33, and those scopes were 35. And that was a big deal. But back then, everybody said, can you put my car on the scope
and see what's
and
wrong
see what's
with
the matter with it? So anyway, Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. He's worth the drive. He works on cars, and if you live in that area, Tom is a good guy. Action Auto, I-17 in Deer Valley, the northwest corner of I-17 and Deer Valley. For the rest of the best shops, according to Mark Salem, you can go to marksalem.com. Marksalem.com, 602-508-0960.
once again, here's Mark.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, or good morning, I should say. It's 11 o'clock, 4 minutes after the hour. We're talking about cars. We have a brain trust of four people here with more than 100 years of experience. Easy 100 years of experience. We got two generations, Kurt and myself, and then we've got Eric and Alan, and neither one of us are claiming Eric and Alan.
They ain't claiming us either, Mark.
Yeah, that's okay. but they're young bucks, and they've been around. And you guys are doing a great job, because only thing that's hard is we have to draw pictures with our mouths. Because I see you two guys talking and you're waving your arms all around, and this is radio. This ain't TV. And so that's kind of how it works. Let me tell you real quick about another repair shop that I'm very much proud of, and that's Auto Dynamics in Sun City. They've been around since 1982. Chuck Nide, I've known Chuck since 1968. Derek, his son, operates the Auto Dynamics. So in Sun City, the only place I can send people is Auto Dynamics. They're on the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue, because I've known the family for certainly, 68. So a long time, 20 years or more, 25 years or more.
68?
Wait a minute.
It's 11 plus 41, so okay. It's 52 years.
Okay, fine. I missed the number.
You got it in the or more.
Yeah, or more.
All right, 68.
I was born in 79, so that's 11 years, and I'm 41. That's how I did the math real quick.
All right, then I've known their family that long. Okay, all right. I don't like Chuck, but I'm kidding you. Okay, we're going to go to the phones. Oh, by the way, we got two lines open. We're going to take three guys real quick. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Paul, you're first. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got a 2001 Dodge Dakota. My neighbor and I did a do-it-yourself brake job on it. We put new pads on the front, shoes on the back, changed the left rear wheel cylinder because it was leaking. I end up with a full pedal, but my wheels are getting warm to hot. What did we do something wrong? Is my question, that they would all be warm to hot?
Wait a minute. You're touching the center of the wheel and it's warm.
Yes.
You can feel the heat, and this is after what?
Yes. Driving say 5-10 miles.
I mean, how many times have you braked during that 5 and 10 miles? Is it around city?
City driving. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. What question?
Is it all four?
Yeah. There were three of them were warm and one was almost hot.
Okay.
The opposite one on the rear where we changed the left rear wheel cylinder. And it's just warm. The right side was actually very warm.
Okay.
Have you ever put your hand on the wheels prior to this brake job?
No.
Okay. All right. Let me have this one. There's no science behind what we're talking about here, but let me ask you a couple of questions. Is the pedal firm in one position every time you hit the pedal?
If I start using it, it's full. Yes, I got a full pedal.
And it never fades, and it stops in the same point of the stroke every time.
It'll fade down if I get on it hard, because that the instructions on the pad said you need to make some hard stops to seat your pads and shoes.
Okay, well, I'm talking about you're driving down the road, the light turns red, you push your foot and you stop the car, and then you feel the pedal just fade away on you. Do you have any of that? Okay.
No.
All right.
I got a good pedal.
Okay. Well, if he's got a good pedal and he's got even heat front and rear, we're all shaking our head that we don't know that that's a problem.
He said that the right rear is a little warmer than the left, which means he probably got the shoe just clicked a little tighter.
Okay.
But.
Okay, we backed that one off, and it seemed to help for one or two trips, and now it seems it's not getting hot, but it's very warm.
Okay,
I'm just wondering if the ABS is staying on or something.
Oh, it has nothing to do with that.
No,
it has nothing to do with that.
Nothing to do with that.
No, ABS has. You'd
just
have
drive
a light.
It then, huh?
Yeah. Well, you're using science we've never used before. Okay, none of us have put our hands on any of the brake, even our wife's car, our car, anybody's car. Now we might use a
I
temperature.
Never have either. I just
Yeah.
I smelled the one right wheel when we first did the job.
Okay.
So we pulled it apart and we pulled the drum off and everything looked all right.
I understand that. I understand that. We can't help you. We don't know. You're using something that we've never used before with touching the wheels and stuff. But I can tell you as much this. The pedal sounds right. You have even heat with the exception of one that's a little hotter than the other. So that alone means all of us are saying no harm, no foul. So just continue to drive it. Now, one other thing to look for. On a hard braking, it should not dart left or right. It should straight ahead. So on hard braking, a panic stop, it should go straight ahead. That's the best we can do, Paul. Harry, you're up next.
Yeah, hello, guys. You guys are the Dodge boys, aren't you?
Oh.
Well, Harry, you still drive a Chevy, so we'll forgive you.
No, I don't. No,
he sold his Chevy.
Did he?
Yeah, he went downhill. I mean, he went to a Ford.
Oh my God.
That's even worse.
Hold on just a minute. As I say the sign of the cross, okay, can I take my hat off, touch your forehead, touch your chest, left and right. He bought a F truck?
F-150, yeah.
He must have hit his head. But anyway, I'm Harry. What can we do for you today?
Yeah, you had a caller that had stripped his pan and everything, the drain plug.
Uh-huh.
What do you think about these? Because I know Ford has a plastic pan with a real bad drain plug. What do you think about these? I think Ronin makes one that screws in, and then you have a little spigot deal that you screw into that. It's spring loaded, and then your oil comes out. After you drain it, and then you pull the spigot out. You
know, okay, now who does your oil changes for you, Harry?
Well, you're looking at him.
Okay, all right,
you're
all right.
Your desk at the guy.
I just wanted to ask that. Here's what I would say, guys. When you have the spigot, it's an extra $20 for the oil change.
Calm down.
That's what I would say. Okay. Never mind that we have those on our own trucks. Okay. We're not going to tell him that we have those on our own trucks. We're just going to tell him there's a little bit of labor associated with those that where we have to take our rag and wipe the little teardrop of oil off of the spigot. That's it, Harry. How does that sound?
Harry, he's been like this all morning.
The answer to your question is we're all laughing because we all have them on our truck. So the answer is if you want to put one on yourself. Now, let me ask you guys something. What's the possibility of skimming the bottom of that pan and blowing that thing off the side of it?
If you're driving a lowered, Civic or something, that's probably very good.
Okay.
But... I mean, if you're any normal truck or SUV, you got to hit something pretty good to get up to that pan.
Well, and besides that, you've got to collapse all the four-wheel drive stuff and drop the differential on the ground.
I think by the time he rips that off, he's got some other problems.
Well, and yeah, he has another problem anyway because it's F-O-R-D.
Yeah, they highlight it and circle it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys are biased.
Yeah, we're all Dodge guys.
I know.
I have the only reason I have a toe strap in my Dodge is for you Ford guys. I've never used it for myself. But anyway, Harry, thank you for calling. And yes, that's a good idea. We all like that.
Yeah.
All righty. Thank you, Harry. And let's move on to Joe. Joe, how are you?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I've got a 65 Mustang that I've had for quite a while. And I noticed last time I changed the oil, it was down a bit. And I've also noticed when I pull away from the front of the house, I got some blue smoke. So this last weekend, I went ahead and did a compression check on it, and of the 8 cylinders, I had 6 of them that were 145 to 150, and I had one that was 126 and one that was 134. I noticed on the spark plugs when I took them out that 2, 4, 5, and 6 looked oily, but they didn't foul the plug. They weren't even close to that, but there was like an oily kind of a burnt oil on the inside of the plug itself, and the other four looked just fine. My question is, am I looking at perhaps valve seats or rings or valves? What do you guys think? I did a wet test on the two lower ones. They didn't seem to change. I put some oil in there and did it again.
All we got right now in that is we were using a little bit of oil and we got some blue smoke. We do it much more sophisticated. We do cylinder drop tests and all that other kind of stuff, and we do wet dry, and there's parameters associated with that. When you say it's down a bit, we have a full mark and an ad mark. Where is it at?
We're down to add.
Okay, so that's 1 quart.
Well, okay. You know what? It's probably a little more. I was guessing maybe in the neighborhood up to, but I don't think to 2 quarts.
Okay, so it's down the same distance from full to add. It's down from add to the new level.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And the blue smoke is only in the morning when you start it.
Yeah, it is. And what's interesting is when I do start it, I could back it in the driveway there, and I can rev the engine, no blue smoke. But when I back it into the street and then I take off going forward,
okay,
that's when I get a puff. And I've also noticed when I make a turn on occasion after I've been driving, I get
okay. None of that, none of that is scientific. We would not okay. use any of that. Valve seats
yeah,
or valve guides?
Seats, yeah.
Seats and guides, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, where the compression pour is at, it's not varying enough to concern me, and the wet test is positive. I'd say do the heads.
Or he's got some other options. He could put some hotter spark plugs in it.
Remember the non-Fowlers we used to use?
We're not talking non-Fowlers yet.
No.
Okay, so he uses a hotter set of spark plugs in it. What kind of weight or what weight oil are you putting in it?
Well, I had been using just a 1030 weight. I could perhaps bump it.
Well, if he was going to go from a 1030 weight to do an improvement, what number would you use?
I don't like anything more than 1030. It's just I'm younger, though.
Okay.
You guys are like the
30 weight.
Oil.
You can go straight 30 and see if that changes anything.
Yeah. The 30 weight has all the capabilities of protecting us in Phoenix because the lowest we get is 32 degrees. We freeze every once in a while. And obviously on the high end, 30s. Weight's going to give us all that protection. So if you thicken up the oil a little bit, get away from the 1030 and go to the 30 weight, and if you stepped up the spark plugs more and drive it more, just drive it more. Now, he doesn't necessarily have to do the guides. Are there umbrella seals or oil O-ring seals on the top of those valves?
Should be umbrellas on them, Mark.
Okay.
That's what he said, V8.
Yeah. So could we just go in there and just put new seals on it?
He could try that. But okay. It just depends on how loose the guides are, too, as
but
well.
But when we air them up, we pull the spring off.
Yeah.
We can then move the valve.
Yeah, and check.
And then at that point, you stop because you go, oh, I can't overcome this play with an umbrella seal. So you're right. We could go in and do seals. We'd know within the first 3 or 4 cylinders whether we're wasting our time or not.
Yeah.
Or you could just pop the heads off and have somebody put new guides in it and all the stuff that you need. So those are your two options. Anyway, thank you, Joe. Good luck to you. Thank you very much. The lines are wide open. We have 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Alan and Mark Salem, father and son. And then we got Kurt, and I think his name is Eric, and I don't know where in the family tree he lives, but he showed up a little while ago. We'll be back. Well, it's 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and we have 4 guys in here today. We've got Kurt from Kurt's Automotive, I-17 in Bell. We've got his right-hand guy, his left-hand guy, and he has this very small brain, but Kurt is putting up with Eric. You got any comment about that, Eric?
He let me do it, so I don't know who's got the smaller brain.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. And then, of course, we have my son, Alan, who's missing his brain completely. It's on his mother's side. It's generic on his mother's side.
Generic?
Genetic?
What?
Genetic.
I love calling him out on when he says dumb things, you know? That's my favorite.
I think they're ganging up on you, Mark.
Bye, Alan.
Bye, Alan. Your microphone's not working, so give me a 5 count.
Don't threaten me.
All righty. The lines are wide open, folks. If you have a car question, you've got 100 years plus experience sitting here. We've got the older generation that can handle just about everything, and then we got the younger generation if you want to talk about stereos and fancy wheels and what size you can put on your Honda Accord, and they can help you with that kind of stuff. Did I kind of put that down?
If you want to, but I'll ship it over to him.
Yeah. You're talking about the tires and wheels part. Yeah, no kidding. He does the tires and wheels. Anyway, let's talk about Blackwell Automotive real quick. 40th Street and Greenway, been around a long time. Tom knows what he's doing. And right now he's working on a lot of old hot rod cars. So if you have a hot rod and you've been thinking about doing a motor swap or you want to put air conditioning in your 57 Chevy or whatever, it's worth stopping by Tom's and looking at some of the cars he's building. And he can tell you whether he can pull that off or not. 40th and Greenway, you can't. It's a good shop, and he's the only shop from a mechanical point of view, he does normal maintenance as well. So your family car is welcome, but one of the side things he does is hot rods. So you can stop by, and for obvious reasons, not Monday morning or Friday afternoon. But stop by and talk to Tom and let him take a look at your hot rod. Gil, we got anybody? He's on the phone right now.
Mm-hmm. I know. Actually, I'm getting a call right now.
See, he's getting a call right now. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, when it comes, Kurt, to us retiring, do you think that the two of us are ever going to be able to just rest easy with these two guys running our operations?
Yeah, that's a loaded question, Mark, because if I say yes, you're probably not going to believe me. And if I say no, we're the ones that trained him.
And I see your point. I see your point. I think it's those phone calls that start with, are you sitting down?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when we said that, it was because a car fell off the hoist or something, you know, caught fire in the bay and burnt to the ground. Alan, do you remember the last time you called and said, are you sitting down?
No, I don't.
Okay. Eric?
I don't.
You will. So just raise your hand later if you think about something. Because that's what happens in our generation.
We've gotten to a point now where we don't even let you know. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We're going to handle it one way or the other. Why? Yeah, I mean, unless it affects you directly, why? You don't need to know. Not that anything's happened, but you know what I'm saying? That just makes you worried and it gets you up on our butts even harder.
Let me answer that. And it's true that you and Andy are doing a good job making those kinds of decisions. Here's the issue. When it turns really ugly, they're going to get a hold of me at the end of the day, and I need to kind of know what happened.
Yeah.
So I need to sound intelligent because you said, we've consulted with everybody, and we've decided to deny your claim that we burnt your house down. and so then they call me, and I go, well, I need to kind of talk to get the rest of the story. So, but I understand what he's really saying is, Dad, we don't need you in the circle of trust anymore.
No, that's not
I'm teasing you. It's no different than you. It's kind of like, Eric, just handle it. And when the fire really gets to the size of a forest fire, then let me in.
Or if you think I'm going to hear about it from other means, then give me a little heads up.
Like the fire department, police department, that type of thing.
Or the first caller on the radio show is I got a complaint. Your family just burnt my car to the ground or something like that. I need to know that. Okay, we've got a caller. Who might that be?
Say hello to Corky.
Corky, good morning.
How you doing, Mark? Got a question for you. I have a 2016 RAV4 hybrid, and, you know, the mileage I tell you is not quite getting that, but what's really strange is for a month or so, we'll get mileage in the 20s, and then all of a sudden, we're up to the 30s again. Is there something about that thing I don't understand?
What do you think, guys? You can say I'll pass.
Types. Well, it could be what type of driving he did 1 month to another month, one type of, you know, weather conditions.
Air conditioning.
Yeah, air conditioning.
And they are, the hybrids do really suffer from those parasitic, is that the right word, Alan? Parasitic draws?
Yeah.
Parasitic draws. He's my English teacher.
Yeah. So
he can use the words, but he can't spell them. Okay. That's it. He can use them. Let me tell you a story that I've been doing, Corky, that I think kind of demonstrates what you're talking about. My wife and I drive back and forth to Payson all the time, and we're always fighting about fuel economy. Okay, who gets better? I'm driving a one-ton diesel, and she's driving a six-cylinder Ford Edge. So this last time, we both reset our fuel economy when we left. I had never done that before, so I made a conscious effort. I got 18.9 miles per gallon in the 93 miles from our house there to our house here. And I beat her pants down. Now, if I would have not reset it, and if I hadn't have been feathering up that throttle, but most of the time I'm running 16 to 17 miles to the gallon, and here all of a sudden I'm popping 2.5 more. And it matters on the reset. It matters on the environment and stuff. But
it's
20
got
to
cooler
30,
too.
Yeah, and 20 to 30 though, that's a little higher than I'm normal.
So here's the situation. If I back out of my garage with the battery in the fully charged position and go down the street at 10 miles an hour, sometimes it'll go down there in the battery mode. The next time it'll go down in the engine mode. I can get on the street where I live at and head west. Sometimes it'll stay on that battery mode for 3 or 4 miles. Other times, it won't.
2 minutes.
It's just really bizarre. I can never get it to do the same thing twice.
Okay, okay. We can answer that. Okay, we can answer that. The computer's going to make up the decision on how hot or how cold the engine is, what the slope is, what the temperature is, all that kind of stuff. So the computer and where the engine's at, where your electrical supply is at, which, where your alternator's at, all that kind of stuff is factored into that. None of us can explain why sometimes you go to battery power in the morning and sometimes you go to a fuel or your engine power. We can't.
No.
And the hybrid cars have all this programming. You could put, I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, you could put 3 fat chicks in that car and have a different fuel economy number, and 3 fat guys, okay?
Yeah.
Of 3 fat guys in that car, like us, okay?
Yeah.
And you could have different fuel economies all over the board.
Yeah.
And so none of us can answer it at all.
1 minute.
I mean, I don't have a chance.
No, I mean.
Well, even things like window up or window down is going to affect the way that car is going to, yeah, respond, because they're designed in wind tunnels.
Yeah.
And your outside ambient temperature will affect your tire pressure, which changes your rolling resistance.
And the outside temperature, humidity versus no humidity is also going to affect,
yeah,
it, and even a small line of that. It doesn't have, yeah, to be a major, we go from hot to rainstorm.
You know, we drive big trucks, and, you know, we change a mile a gallon depending upon our driving conditions. Something like that, I've seen hybrids change 10 mile a gallon depending upon conditions.
Yeah. So Corky, we don't have an answer,
okay,
for you.
No.
But if you do find an answer, would you email me, mark@marksalem.com, and just tell me? Because that way we can learn.
I need to buy a Dodge.
You know, if you buy a Dodge, and then you're going to outrun those hybrids. I'm going to tell you, you're going to be on the side of the road driving really slow in that Dodge right by you. 602-508-0960. Well, welcome back, everybody. 33 minutes after the hour, and we've got some callers, but I got to take care of some real quick business. Strictly Diesel Service and Repairs up on I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road in your neck of the woods. Nate's a really good guy. He knows diesels really, really well. And if you have a diesel that nobody else can fix, then more than likely Nate can talk to you intelligently about it. And with some proper diagnosis, he can probably figure out what's wrong. So if your 7.3 cranks forever after you put all your injectors in, Nate knows how to fix that. No one else does, but Nate does. So nevertheless, Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley, I-17 in Pinnacle Peak Road, a really good guy. Let's go. We're going to take ladies first, guys. Tracy, you're up first.
Hi. I had 2 questions for you guys.
Okay.
I own a 2007 Corvette and a 2000 Mustang GT, and I was wondering what type of gas would be better for them, a mid-grade or a premium, and does it really make a big difference?
Let me ask you from a technical, and then we'll chime in, okay?
I want
you to think of, in a millisecond of time, a millisecond of time. I'll give you another example that's better. When you take a balloon and you stick a pin in it, you pop it. It's instantaneous. You agree? Now,
yes.
I take the same balloon, but I don't tie the mouth thing open, and I let it go, and it goes all over the room, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're talking about the difference in the explosion between regular and super is measured in millionths of a second. And so the push on the piston in regular gasoline is a push. With super, it's a push plus the kernel of a kernel of corn. It's just not. Now, you guys chime in about the Corvette on the 07 Corvette and the 06 GT.
There we go. Now we got some mics.
Go.
If the car requires it, I would run what the car requires.
Okay.
Yeah. The thing is they say that because they give them a little more timing to give them a little more bang too. So you slow down your burn just a touch for that extra timing. So if it's built for it, and it says that's what they should put in it, I would put the premium in it. If it's just says regular unleaded, you're going to get no benefit from premium.
Go.
I think she had her Mustang was what year?
A 2008.
Yeah, you're all computer controlled cars. You're going to get more performance with a premium fuel if that's what it calls for, but you're not going to do any damage running any of them.
Okay, and that's a good point. But I have a comment as well. it's not going to be measurable, because if I come over to your house and take your car and it's an empty tank and I put half regular one day and half regular, half super, you're not going to tell the difference.
No.
We have a Corvette with a twin turbo. I tell everybody I put premium in it because I don't want to have a conversation, but I cheat it all the time.
Yeah.
I'll put premium in at half, and then I'll put regular. We have a Camaro with a blower on it. It's the same thing. Renee's Jaguar.
That's why pinging. That's exactly why. That's, now I know.
No, that's,
that, don't let Dad drive it no more,
he's
right?
He's not allowed to drive it anymore. I'm hiding the keys.
It's not true. He's a liar. He's a liar. The fact of the matter, I am adamant that if you can't tell the difference, the car can't tell the difference. And if I, and you know what? I'll come over to your house, Tracy, and you just get it down below a quarter tank, and I'll fill it up, and I'll bet you $200. Well, it's a 50-50 shot, she can guess.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a bad bet. Yeah.
I can hook up a computer and tell you.
Oh, yeah, your computer. Of course you can. But it's called burn time.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's a matter of the explosion is either quick, like a balloon popping, or if you let the balloon go and it goes all over. That's it. So you got three of them against one. You can take your pick, but I have a lot more experience than I do together. So.
Okay.
All righty, Tracy?
All right. Thank you for your answer. I appreciate it.
You bet. Regular versus premium. Okay, Sharon, you're up next. How can we help you?
Oh, hi, gentlemen. Hey, I have 2009 Hyundai Sonata, and this is a heater question, which I know we only need it hardly any ever. But when I turn the heat on, if I have to get up really early in the morning and it's still chilly, I put it on for just my feet. But when I do that, it still continues to blow out, you know, at what would be my face, and then it comes out also like what would be like the front defrost. Is it supposed to do that?
There, no. All of us are shaking our head. No, it should not do that.
No, it shouldn't. That's going to be a control problem.
Okay. See, when you pick seat, and then there are three dash ones. There's going to be windshield, center vent, and floor. Okay.
Yeah.
So you should be able to pick from any of those that you want. But I'm going to ask you, just off the top of your heads, guys, this repair is going to cost her a little or a lot.
It's either or. It's either or, yeah, really.
Because some of the GMs pay 3/10.
Okay, yep. But we can fix a vacuum line on some of the GMs and on the Fords.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm talking about blend doors. Some of them are 3/10, some of them are 12 hours to pull the dash out.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Now, real quick, does this happen on AC as well, or is it just on heat?
Just on the heat.
That changes everything.
Yeah. Well, she wouldn't blow your AC on your foot, though. She probably...
You know, sometimes I have. Sometimes I have.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like if I've done a walk or something. If I specifically set it on the feet for the air conditioning, it does just come out there.
Listen, guys. If she just got done playing tennis, okay, she doesn't want to play with this girl anymore, okay, for whatever reason. Maybe the girl spanked her on tennis.
1 minute.
Then you turn on the floor so you freeze her feet, or everybody in the car smells her feet, and that way she doesn't have to deal with it.
I use AC on my feet all the time when I wear sandals and my feet sweat like crazy.
Your feet are the size of tennis rackets.
I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter.
He's got tennis rackets on his feet. Those are your big solar panels for you. Your feet.
Yeah.
Tracy, we don't know the answer to that. I think that you should play around with your controls more, and I need you to make sure the indents or the buttons and stuff are pushed. But would I spend any money on this? My answer is no.
Unless the controls completely quit, and then she's...
Then you have to.
Yeah.
You can just live with what you've got, I think this is going to be a ticket that's going to be larger than average.
Yeah.
Just because of the electronics. So, Tracy, thank you very much. Bobby, you're up next. How can we help you?
Hi. You know, great show, by the way.
Thank you.
I have a 2014 Chevy Silverado, and I got a check engine light, and the code that comes up is a P1400. And it says on the code reader, when I pick it up, it says that it's a manufacturer, is all it says.
Okay.
What do you guys say?
Okay. Yes, that's going to be a software problem, a software update problem. It's going to be something that somebody knows about.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I don't remember what a 1400 is.
I don't think I've ever seen a 1400.
I have, but it's usually associated with another. It's like a subcode of a primary. I'm surprised that's the only code he's got.
Oh, and it could be comfort zone. Or let's just separate out all the different areas.
Yeah.
It can be engine. It can be fuel. It can be emissions. It can be climate controls. It can be ABS. It can be all that kind of stuff. Anytime where everything comes together.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, just so that we can cover this, the code just means that the problem is in New Jersey. We have to find the city, the street, and the house number. So just because the code, and I know that you're not saying this, but this is for information for everybody else. Just because the code says oxygen sensor, if we have an oxygen sensor code, Eric, Kurt, how often does the oxygen sensor fix the code as opposed to all the other options?
Half the time.
Or less.
Okay.
Or less. So I just did a quick search on that.
Is what we're talking about not to do, is do a quick internet search. Go ahead. No, I'm just teasing.
I'm thinking more of his code reader is not set. That the definition is not in his code reader. I think the problem is his code reader, not the 1400 code.
Okay.
So it's a 1400 code. It's defined as a cold start emissions reduction control system.
Okay.
And it's manufacturer specific. That's why it may say manufacturer. It sees that 1400, but it can't differentiate what vehicle it is.
Okay.
But that's the Chevrolet diagnosis.
So you got a comment on that?
Well, if I was going to say cold start performance, basically if it's going to have air pumps, that's maybe an air pump vehicle. That's the only cold start emissions control there is on vehicles, so it's probably like an air pump system that's not working right.
Something that's not working cold that is working hot,
yeah.
And it's something that we need to have operating in the morning cold, and whatever's coming through the O2 sensors or otherwise is saying, okay, the numbers I see are not good. We wouldn't be able to work on that 1400, would we?
Yeah.
Okay. So nobody's ever seen it.
Well, it's just I've seen it. I just don't remember what it was off the top of my head.
Yeah, just possible. Again, I'm just
like I said,
engine coolant temp. So basically, you start the car up, and instead of it being ambient, the engine coolant temp, it's saying 299, but intake air temp saying 60, and you know what I'm saying?
Okay, the temperature of the air in the coolant doesn't match what it really is.
Doesn't jive with the external.
So
stuff,
there's a variety of things.
There's
that
a
can
million
be happening.
Things. Yeah.
Okay. All right, we got to take a break. That's the best we can do. I'm sorry, Bobby. That's the best we can do, but all's not lost.
No,
somebody
no.
can fix
oh,
this
yeah.
thing. And it could be something easy. All righty. And Greg, I'm sorry I can't get you, but in about 3 minutes, I'll be back to you.
Financial ruin. It allowed
5 minutes after the hour, and we're going to go just what we said we're going to do. We're going to take Greg next. Greg, how can we help you?
Hi. I have a GM Performance Ramjet 350. And it's been sitting for a while, maybe up to a year. I've been doing some – actually, I was trying to install an air conditioning system. So I did cycle it on and off a couple times, testing, the fan and various things. But anyway, what happens now is when I start it, I'm getting a miss, or, it's almost like a backfire on one side. I'm going to say on the driver's side, because it's dual exhaust, it's coming out that one pipe. And I don't know where to start. Is it bad gas? Is it maybe I fouled the plugs, fuel injectors? Just looking for some help.
All of the above.
A starting point.
yeah.
I think the best thing you should do is just take it out and drive it.
Yeah.
I think just take it out.
Even though it's popping like that?
Yeah.
Well, yes. Yeah. If we got a valve hanging up, you should be able to overcome that.
Yeah.
I think, if I were you, I would, on Sunday morning, I'd just gently coax it onto I-17 and I would gently throttle up to the speed limit or a little bit more, and I would listen and feel the engine miss. What you're looking for is it one of two things. It's going to clear up or it's not.
Yeah.
And if it's not, you're going to have to go in there and find out what
the other thing I would do is immediately get it over and fill it up with gas.
Right.
Yeah. Fresh gas.
If it's got old gas in it, preferably premium.
I actually did. I put 5 gallons in. I put some fuel injector cleaner in there.
Yeah, no more of that.
I let it get up to temperature, and then I just basically shut it down.
Take and run it.
Yeah, just run it. Just go run it like you stole it, and it'll be fine. It's a GM product, you guys. All right, thank you very much. Joe, you're up next.
Good afternoon, gents. I got a 88 K5 Blazer with a 305 TBI in there, and it's an older, obviously it's older, but it's sat for a while, and so what I'm what I'm liking about the truck is that it's working for me. It's defining like my lifestyle right now.
Uh-huh.
But a big problem that I have with it is that it's slow on the freeway. So I like it. It's lifted. It's on 33s. It drives. It looks cool and all that. But the problem is like I can't get it to where I want it to go. Like I want it to be able to take it off road, and so on and so forth. But the fact that it's slow, like on the freeway, I'm doing like 80 miles an hour, and that's like as fast as it'll go. So I'm considering LS swap. And my question is it realistic to expect it to kind of perform like a more modern vehicle afterwards and still be able to have fun with it off-road?
Well, let me ask you, what's your RPMs at 80?
I don't know that because it doesn't have a tach on it. All I have is speedo.
If he's an old 305, those were usually your fuel economy ones. He's probably got three. 355 gears or 323. He might need to change gears probably more than anything.
I'd say that's the first thing, but I wouldn't worry. 80 miles an hour, I re-geared my truck about 2 years ago, and, I mean, 85, it's like 2,500 RPMs, but my mileage went, you know, I mean, it went up 20% by doing that, but it does run a little, and it runs cooler.
Well, the taller gears, the lower numbers are going to give you 1,500 RPM at 88 miles an hour, and then if he's got the lower gears, the 411s, the 456, then all of a sudden he's in the 2 and 3,000 RPM.
Yeah,
that's why you ask him
the power to run faster and things like that.
But he's hitting his limit.
Yeah.
He's also running up towards the top end of his limit, so that would tell me
that 305 should turn $4,000 easy. So,
but he's still running up there on the top end. Yeah. It sounds like he's got some real low gears in it.
Yeah.
Some real low gears. The question is what gears has it got? But that's something that we could probably, I mean, a good guy could drive it and answer the question.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
drive let me ask you quick. Does it ever ping? Does it ever have pinging problems?
Aside from the speed, it seems to run pretty, you know, far as it could be considered good. You know, it's loud. It doesn't seem to be abnormal.
All right, well, here's the reason I ask you is if it doesn't ping, I'd advance the timing a little bit more because you said this is an old Blazer, an 88. So I'd bring that timing up. But that distributor, that HEI, I'm talking fast now, has a mechanical advance that hangs up and a vacuum advance that hangs up. So you can have all kinds of distributor problems that would be fixed by putting a distributor in it, but don't put a distributor in it because that's going to be a $100, $150 guess. How long would it take us? Mm-hmm. Eric, Alan. Cost low, no less than to check out the ignition system, check out the distributor operation. It's an HEI. Check out mechanical and vacuum advance.
I'd say 149 to 250 hour and a half.
Yeah, I was gonna be a little lower than him, 100, 150.
Okay, fair enough. So that's kind of it's not that tough.
Yeah.
Man, this could be something where it costs you 140 to find it and $5 to fix it. So we could pull the rotor off, lube the weights, and be done with it. So I got to run, though, but that's a great question. Thank you. Fred, you're up next. How can we help you?
Yeah, Mark, thanks. I've had a car, a 2002 Dodge Grand Caravan, since new, and we've really serviced the heck out of it. I'm one of the fussy people. In fact, I even had it at your place for oil change once because I was in the area.
Okay, thank
you. So anyway, what I have is a problem with the shifter. When we start the car in the morning to put it in reverse to back it out, and it's an all-wheel drive, so that's the other problem, maybe. I don't know. And it's got 104,000 miles. So you back it out, it's trouble getting it into reverse, and it just won't go, and my wife's got a bad right arm, so she's telling me, we need a new car. No. This is a simple problem.
No, you need a new car. That's dangerous. That is dangerous. And you're putting your wife's line. I'm talking. That could put your wife's. How long have you been married? That's the only answer you get to give me right now.
52 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to tell you. You're dead if you don't do what she wants you to do. After 52 years, you know that. Do you park it on a flat ground or is your driveway sloped?
Flat.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not quite. The problem is just getting it. You push your foot on the brake and you want to pull the shifter into reverse your drive, and she's struggling with that.
Yep.
Okay. You know, I think we could make a difference if we just go in there and lube the heck out of everything.
I was
going to
say, linkage issue.
Yeah.
Linkage issue or maybe a hanging up.
He could have a brake light switch, too, that's got some buildup, so the voltage isn't as strong, so the solenoid that releases that isn't pulling the full.
You're both right.
Yeah.
You're both right. Again, we're talking, can I do 75 to a, not another repair, but just figure out what it is, 75 to 1 1/4, something like that? You happy with that?
Okay.
So it's not that big of a deal. Okay? And listen,
very good,
if you get it fixed, take credit yourself. Okay? Just take credit of yourself. Say, I did a little research on the Google guy, and this is what he told me to tell you, okay? All righty. Thank you very much. All right, Tom, you're up.
Yes. Hi, guys. I've got an 04 Silverado Duramax. It's got all kinds of mods on it, and when I'm in fifth gear, if I get on the accelerator, it jumps into
limp mode,
and the tires chirp.
Yep. Okay, well, we don't believe... Oh, no, he's got a GM. I was going to say Ford tire chirping. Okay, I'm with you.
Ford's has brakes, Mark.
Alan, you are... He finished his sentence for
you. Yeah.
You go ahead.
So do you... There's two limp modes. There's a tranny limp mode, there's a fuel limp mode. Will the vehicle shift, or will it not go over 1,500 RPMs?
Will it shift as in when it's in limp mode?
Yes.
When it's in limp mode, it appears to go down into fourth gear, and then I pull off, and it operates normally as far as the transmission goes.
Okay.
I changed out the TMC. I changed out the solenoid from fourth to fifth. Pete told me something about a spring. Okay.
Hold on, because none of that makes any difference.
Yeah. Hold tight. So if it's shifting, you're going after tranny stuff. It's not a tranny issue. It's a fuel issue.
It's a
demand issue. The truck is demanding more fuel than the CP3 can produce.
I've got a lift station.
That doesn't matter. It still does it. The first thing I would do, how many miles?
208.
Okay. So, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, if those injectors are worn out, it's spraying more fuel than the CP3, even the lift pump. We see it all the time.
I replaced the injectors a year ago. Year and a half.
Okay. Well, how about the CP3?
I don't know what that is.
No, that's the high pressure pump.
Oh, the my pump. No.
High pressure pump.
Don't go changing that based on
No. I'll tell you the first thing I would do. The first thing, is it lifted? I bet it is, isn't it?
No.
Oh, bone stock.
Yeah.
That's interesting. The.
Did that hurt? Was that an insult just now?
What's that? No. The reason I say that is a lot of times we see this on lifted trucks, and I'll tell you why. When you go to, just like we talked about gear ratio, when you're going into fourth and fifth and you hammer on it, it goes so far low into the gear ratio that it goes into limp mode really, really often. If it's stock, it doesn't drop that far down into the gear ratio. So that was why I was asking that.
Let me change the question. Of his problems, give me just real quick a snapshot. If it's either going to be this or it's either going to be this.
It's fuel related.
Okay.
It's fuel related. Okay. Lift pump. It's either going to be lift pump, CP3, injectors, or another thing that we found is that take your tuner off, have the PCM updated to the very latest GM software, and then reinstall your tuner.
This is an 04. Okay. It's 16 years old. They got to have?
Of course.
Of course, he might not have picked up any of the updates from 2004.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So they have made multiple updates to the truck because these trucks have this problem in the stock configuration. How are we doing on time?
We're fine.
So like I say, take the tuner out. What kind of tuning are you using?
I don't know. It's a good one. It's got diagnostics that reads code gives me code.
Two things. Have the PCM updated in the truck and update the tuner. And if you need help, call me Monday. I can help you walk you through it. But a lot of times we fix this with software.
Monday before lunch, though, because Monday mornings are running. I got to do some business real quick. Thompson's Auto Repair in Mesa is the only shop in Mesa that I recommend. Why? Because Brian and Thelma deserve that I send them business. But more importantly, I'm unable to find other shops that can pass the muster of the level that we demand with respect to how long they've been in business, what kind of people are they, how many complaints, what are their reviews like, do they have the necessary insurance? Well, Thompson's has got all of that, and they're much better than the rest that have applied. So they're on Main Street just east of Stapley, and they're worth your drive. Transmissions. We just got done talking about transmission issues. Automatic Transmission Exchange has been around Phoenix since 1968. 40th Street in Washington. Phil actually worked on Fred Flintstone's car. That's how long Phil's been in the transmission business. So if you're looking for a place and you want to stop by and maybe have somebody drive it. If you could demonstrate the problem, that is the joy of being a transmission person, is if somebody comes in and says, I can make it happen. So hop in the car and we'll go. Monday mornings, Friday afternoons is kind of difficult. So those two. Okay, Kurt, Eric, we'll do this again.
Yes.
Kurt, we're going to do it without them next time. They don't know hell about what we're talking
about. You
know
what surprised me is they answered most of the questions. They sounded intelligent.
You know what? I noticed the same thing. You and I could just sit back and pick our nose and they could handle this.
I think we're rubbing off on them, Mark.
Well, sounded intelligent and telling the truth.
You know, you're a Salem. and they say this about Salems. If BS was snow, you'd be a walking blizzard.
That's right.
1 minute.
And so, but anyway, you two young bucks, Eric, thank you. Alan, thank you. It's been a pleasure. They're not coming back again. Anyway, Mark at MarkSalem.com. If you have a question, I'll help you out, and I'll refer to the appropriate person. Mark at MarkSalem.com. That's good for anybody for any reason. I'll do the best I can, but if you have a question and you want my answer, then give me a phone number, because I'd rather call you from my block number than to type for the rest of my life. Plus, I'm going to have questions that I don't want to get in this back and forth. So if you have a question, Mark at MarkSalem.com. Make sure you give me a phone number. I'm going to call from a blocked line, and I'll call more than once to let you know it's me. So anyway, thank you again. Alan from Salem Performance Division, Eric from Kurt's Automotive, and Kurt from Kurt's Automotive. Yeah. The big dog, we'll call him. So thank you for spending your Saturday with me. We appreciate it. God bless you. Drive safely. And if the police say get out of your car, it's a good idea.